Well, I mentioned earlier in the service that over this next couple months, we're looking at a letter of the Bible, the letter to the Galatians. It's in the New Testament, and we started last week looking at the introduction to that, and we're going to continue this morning looking at the first chapter. And what we'll see in our passage in just a moment is that in this part of the letter that Paul writes to the churches in Galatia, is Paul tells a little bit about his own story. He tells a little bit about his own story of coming to faith in Christ and how God entered his life. And what I hope that we'll see as we kind of unpack that is that Paul shares his story for two purposes. One, that we would know that the gospel that he preached doesn't have a human origin, but the gospel is from God. And the second, he tells his story to tell us that the gospel frees us from trying to please other human beings. So the gospel is not of human origin, it's from God, and the gospel frees us from trying to please other human beings. So those are the things we'll see in his story. But let's look, this is in your order of worship, you can follow there or in your Bible. This is Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 through 24. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous that I was for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in persons to the church of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear, and Lord, that by your spirit we wouldn't just hear it, but that we would be moved to faith, to trust and rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does anyone else hear this beeping noise? Do you know which one it is? Sorry, this happens every once in a while. These lights start beeping. It's this one over here. Uh-oh. No pressure, Eric, that you can get it. There's the pole there in the corner. Okay, it's good to know that I wasn't the only one hearing that noise. Okay. That's okay. Sorry. Wow. We have lights. Okay. Yeah. Patrick should be in the office or back in the boiler room. All right. We'll make the best of it, and hopefully he'll come. All right. So if you remember that I was talking a little while ago, so Paul tells his story, and We're going to look at that story and unpack it. But before we do that, I want us to remember the context of what Paul is writing this letter into. Paul helped plant churches in Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And having planted those churches and moved on, he hears reports from them, and he hears the reports that concern him. And so, as his practice, he wrote a letter back to those churches. That's the letter that we have in our Bible. And this is what we have before us. And in the letter we looked at last week, he opens with very strong language saying that he is troubled because others have distorted the gospel. That the gospel that they received, the gospel that they heard preached by Paul, that they have turned away from that. And so it's worth us asking for a moment, what is this, the gospel that Paul centers his letter on? What is this thing that they heard, that they believed in, but now are beginning to turn away from a little bit? And so part of that is to understand what is it that Paul preached. Wherever he went throughout the Mediterranean world on these trips to plant churches, he preached the gospel, something that God gave to him. And it's important for us to, even though we might be familiar with that word, for us to stop and say, what was it that God was saying? What did Paul proclaim? And it went something like this, that there was one God, the God of Israel, who created heaven and earth. And that one God has chosen now to make his mystery revealed, to reveal the plans he has for the whole world. And that plan has been revealed, the mystery has been revealed in the person of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. A Jew from a part of the country, a part of the area of a kind of a no-name section. But he was the Christ, the anointed king of the Jews. But the Romans, hearing of this, the Romans put him to death on the cross, publicly shaming him. But this is not the end of the story. Paul goes on to say that this Jesus who was put to death was raised to life by God. And in his death and resurrection, now Jesus has been given the name above all names, and he is declared Lord over all things. Jesus is Lord. And more than that, through his death and resurrection, his lordship, Jesus is reconciling us, sinners, to God. And that we who are broken, we who are sinners and disconnected from God and our true selves, that we can be reconciled because Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. This is the good news that Paul proclaimed wherever he went. But there's more. The good news goes on to say that this Jesus, who rose and is the Lord over all, is forming one people, one family, reconciled to God. And in this one family, there are no social or racial barriers, no levels, no one table for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. There is one people. That this family is the fulfillment of all God's promises to Israel, but by God's grace, you don't have to be a Jew to be part of this family. Now, this vision has been fully made known in Jesus, fully revealed, and he, by the gospel, is now forming one people made of Jew and Gentile, people from every tribe, tongue, and language, that they would be in God's family by faith in Christ. The message of Christ redeeming us, and the message of Christ forming one new people, this is the gospel. The gospel that Paul proclaimed. And by God's grace, when this gospel went forth, it brought fruit in Galatia. People believed. Churches were begun. But now Paul writes that I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in grace. And so what's happening? That after Paul left, there are some voices that have appeared in the community that are saying that Paul's message isn't true. What Paul told you is incomplete. He was mistaken. And what I think the message was going on in that, it was that, yes, it's good to follow Jesus, but to be fully acceptable to God, to be fully part of that family, everyone, Jew and Gentile, needs to follow the law of Moses, meaning you need to follow the food laws, circumcision, the ceremonial laws of God. Therefore, if that is true, the real message, the real gospel, is that you're welcome in God's family as long as you follow certain requirements and certain rituals and customs, certain traditions that have kept Jews and Gentiles separate. So why is Paul so troubled by these reports? He's troubled because these new voices are altering God's gospel and has profound consequences for you and for me and the people of Galatia. These new voices are distorting the gospel of grace by faith, suggesting that our full entrance, our full approval with God is somehow based on our activity, on earning a wage from God. Paul is troubled because these voices are also rejecting the vision of one people, one family, being bound together in Christ. These voices are holding up the boundaries, the social lines. These voices that emerge apart from Paul are refusing to accept that God in Christ tears down walls of hostility. They reject that Jesus frees us from social fears or selfishness or injustice and prejudice. They reject the idea that Jesus frees us from the world telling us how to see others. And this is a part of the gospel we don't always remember and that we have to hold on to. That God is forming one people, united in Christ. And then Jesus, we are taught to see all of those around us as neighbors and all those of faith as brothers and sisters. This is the profound nature of the gospel. Well, these things were being questioned. In response, Paul tells his story. In response, Paul tells his story in order for us to know that the gospel isn't his creation and it's not simply a way to get others to approve of him. And so he tells his story. In my former life, I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father, meaning that he was a strict Pharisee, meaning to be faithful, to be clean and acceptable, you must closely practice the rituals and laws. And as part of this adherence, as part of this commitment and zealousness, Paul sought to cleanse Israel of the nonsense of Jesus of Nazareth. But did you notice something happened? Paul's story says that something happened. A radical change took place, a turning. God, who set me apart before I was born, God called me by his grace. God was pleased to reveal to me his son in order that I might preach to the Gentiles. Think about this. The zealous Pharisee, the one who was very busy declaring who was clean and who was not, and that the Gentiles were certainly not clean, it's this one that God has chosen to go and tell them that they are welcome into God's family. It's worth us noticing in his story that the shocking difference between the beginning of it and the second part. He starts off by saying, I was this, I did this, I was busy doing these things, but something changed. God was at work. God called me. God revealed his son to me. God invited me into his family, into his message of grace. Paul's story changes from his activities, the I, to the activities of God for him. I don't know how that resonates with your own story. As we think about our life, who we are and who we've been, it's very possible at times to see only ourselves, my activities, my choices, my sin, my efforts. But the gospel of Christ, what God has revealed, invites us not simply to see ourselves, but to see that God is the one who is at work. God called you. God has revealed the good news of Christ to us. God has been at work. In my own story, I can think often of looking back of the I tried to meet all sorts of expectations. I try to find ways to satisfy or manage or gain approval from all those around me. I try to make sure I hid parts of me that I didn't like or manage those things that people would see. But in the midst of that chaos and fear and uncertainty, God saw. God saw me. Saw my fullness and my brokenness, but God loved me completely in Christ and proclaimed the good news to me. This is the story of the gospel and the story that you and I are invited to consider in our own life. Wherever you are today, to think about how the eye of my activities, my efforts, can be changed to reflect on God's activities for you. Well, Paul tells the story and he goes on to talk about his interaction with the apostles in Jerusalem. He says that in order to make clear to those who were speaking against him, he says to them, this gospel that has changed my life is not my invention. I didn't create it. It's not simply a tradition that someone gave to me that is simply handed on. Rather, it is the revelation of God in Christ. Meaning it is something that God himself has made known and that God himself has done. The gospel is true not because Paul was intelligent or Paul thought up a really good story or Paul convinced people to grab hold of it. The gospel is true because God has revealed it and has done this work in Christ. At the heart of Paul's story is to make clear the sense of independence. The gospel does not rest in him or even the apostles in Jerusalem, but it rests in God. The gospel is a gift. C.S. Lewis, when writing about God revealing himself to us and our need for God's truth, gives the image of going into a tool shed, some kind of, maybe you can picture a small shed that's very dark, the door is closed, and so you can't see anything. But in that tool shed, a ray of sunlight comes through a crack, shining into that tool shed, and so suddenly the person standing there can see the tools or see the things on the shelf before him. And he said, that is a picture of the light of God opening our eyes that we not just see the light, but we see along it. It allows us to see and to know what our life is. And Paul here is saying that that light that shines forth, we didn't create it. It was given to us. And we know who it is and what it's about. It's about Jesus and his work on our behalf as the Lord over all. And by that light, we can see. The point, Paul says, is not following me or Peter or James or the church in Jerusalem or the church outside of Jerusalem. The point is hearing and following the revelation of God. Well, the gospel is precious to us because it's not something that we created or Paul created. It's precious because it's from God. But this gospel also frees us from pleasing human beings. Paul tells a story to communicate this sense of independence of the root of the gospel, but he also tells it to stress that he is not about pleasing others. The gospel frees us from trying to do so, to live a life built around pleasing other people. Some were saying Paul has tailored his message to get as many people as possible to like him. Hey, if I tell the Gentiles that they don't have to become circumcised, if I tell them they don't have to adopt certain food laws, then it will be easier for them to accept what I say. Some were saying that Paul has distorted the message to make it easier for people to like him and to join with him. And Paul's message is not whatever you want, or I'll adjust it again now that there's kind of this new version. Rather, he says, I'm not trying to please people. I'm a servant, a slave to Christ. And the message for us is that all of us who pride ourselves on our status, all of us who take pride in the sense of security in our reputation, must die in order to live. Let's die to ourselves in order to live. You see, there's a connection between Paul's testimony and not living to please others. And that connection is that the gospel says that Christians are assured of God's love and assured of God's approval. And it's this approval, this assurance of God's union with us in Christ that liberates us and frees us from the demands and criteria that others would put upon us. It frees us from the powers that offer a reputation that if we do things in a certain way, that we will rise up a certain status. It frees us from the shame or disapproval that family or friends or others are quick to put upon us. For they do not ultimately determine who you are, but God himself has declared you a son or daughter in Christ. The other day I was walking down Lincoln Avenue underneath the Brown Line train tracks, and there was doing construction. It seems like they're doing construction everywhere in the city right now. At this moment, there was cones out on the street. There was a backhoe digging something up. The train was going by. It was just kind of a crazy setting. But in the midst of this, I saw a teenage boy riding his bike, smiling and weaving between the orange cones on the street, in the midst of the backhoe, in the midst of all the pedestrians and the train above, just having a great time weaving down Lincoln Avenue. Seemed to be oblivious of all that was going around him. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should go out and weave between construction cones, but when I saw that, I saw here is a picture of joy and of freedom. He's not afraid. He's not, you know, just kind of cowering along the different things around him, but he is going about free in his trip. What would it be like to be free? Free of the approval of other people. Free of those who want to withhold it or give you shame instead of approval. Paul's story tells us that he did terrible things. Filled with anger and hate, he was involved in the death and the arrest of people. His story also tells us that he did many, many religious deeds, that he was more active religiously than anyone else his age. Paul's story addresses this path that you cannot make yourself acceptable to God by being the most zealous or being the most detailed following certain codes or expectations. You see, Paul was successful before his conversion in keeping traditions. He was filled with pride, yet that path did not give him peace and did not give him acceptance. He needed to be rescued from his hate and his anger. He needed to be rescued from his own proud religious activities. He needed to be free and receive the freedom that only God and his love and grace can extend. That though Paul's religious activity was intense, while he was very devoted, it wasn't enough. And though Paul's sins and hate were very deep, he was graciously invited and called in by God. Paul remembers his story, and he shares it in order for people to know the trustworthy of the gospel, and he also shares it to invite us to hold on to the freedom of serving Christ rather than serving other people. For Christ appeals not only to our minds, but he fills our hearts. And part of remembering his story, Paul was remembering God's call in his life. And part of remembering that story was not to kind of amaze people, but to remember the gospel. The Lord does not set his affections on you, does not choose you because you promised to do something great or because you stand out from the crowd. God has chosen you in Christ because he loves you. And God does not love you because you will be serviceable to him. He simply loves you because of his faithful and steadfast love. God is pleased with all those who are in Christ, those who have faith in Christ. In Christ, we are called sons and daughters. And it's out of that that we may learn to obey and to live in God, not to gain his approval, but to respond to the place and welcome we have with him. Remembering that story, remembering the gospel, frees us from others and their demands or their judgments of us. For we know in Christ that we are united to God now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to think about our own stories, not just of our sins or our efforts, but ultimately your activity in our life in Christ. We pray that you would make that clear again to us today, whether it's been for the first time that we'll think of it, or whether we've been thinking about it for a long time, that, Lord, let your grace may be present in our stories. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.